Here we go.
Well, we're continuing our series on the spiritual smoothie on the fruit of the Spirit. And our proof text is Galatians 5, 22 and 23. I am kind of the opinion that you read Scripture better standing up. So would you please stand with me, and then you can sit the rest of the time, all right? Nice and peaceful. Read it out loud with me. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things, there is no law. Thank you. Well done. Have a seat. Next weekend, Pastor Jordan will be preaching on patience, and I invite you this week to examine the idea of peace with me, the fruit of peace, as we go into that. And it always helps to have a little bit of humor approaching certain topics. So one person said, and you might agree with it, that their path to inner peace begins with three words: not my problem. I read a story after a very long and boring sermon. The parishioners filed out of the church, saying nothing to the preacher. Towards the end of the line was a thoughtful person who always commented on the sermons. "Pastor, today your sermon reminded me of the peace and love of God." The pastor was thrilled. "No one has ever said anything like that about my preaching before. Tell me why." "Well, it reminded me of the peace of God because it passed all understanding, and the love of God because it endured forever." So hopefully you don't feel that way when we're done today. One sort of poem writing about peace, inner peace. If you can start the day without caffeine, if you can always be cheerful, ignoring aches and pains, if you can resist complaining and boring people with your troubles, if you can eat the same food every day and be grateful for it, if you can understand when your loved ones are too busy to give you any time, if you can take criticism and blame without contempt and resentment, if you can conquer tension without medical help, if you can sleep without the aid of drugs and enjoy living in peace, you're probably the family dog. You thought I was going to get all spiritual on you there. And speaking of family dog, last week when we talked about joy, and I invite you to think about, see the things God has created that bring us joy. Two of mine, one of them was puppies, and so we're just going to kind of go back and take a look at this puppy. That's Sydney. That's our daughter's dog. She's over a year old, but still that puppy face. I mean, she doesn't make you smile or what, okay? And if you can't smile about that, it's like something's wrong. That's all I can tell you, all right? They give you joy. And then I talked about babies also bring joy. And look at this little one. Yeah, that's our niece's daughter. And she is having an eclipse day, as you can tell, all right? But just makes you smile, all right? We talked about joy. Joy is a response, and say joy is a choice. Because it said rejoice in the Lord. I say rejoice. It was a command, okay? But it's a response to situations, to what God has made, and we choose to find things to have joy about. Well, today when we talk about peace, peace is a little different. If you want peace, it's not going to just happen. If you want peace, you have to go after it. Say, I have to go after it. And if you have the app, you can follow along with us. I'm going to read a verse. Several verses are listed in the app that are not going to be on screen, but you can follow along with us. And the first point, talking about God, he's the God of peace, and he wants to be with you. All right, our God is a God of peace. You look at Philippians chapter 4, the last part of verse 9. It says, practice these things. We'll talk about what we practice a little bit later. And the God of peace will be with you. He's the God of peace. Take a nice deep breath and just say, peace. Do it again. Peace. All right, that sense, we want to kind of tease that out and see how we experience that from the God of peace. When Isaiah prophesied about the birth of Christ, he said, a child will be born to us, a son will be given to us, and one of the titles of Christ is the Prince of Peace. Psalm 29:11 says, the Lord will give strength to his people. The Lord will bless his people with peace. So he blesses us with peace. And when you look at our mission statement, to know God, he's a God of peace, and then to be his people, we're to reflect who he is. It's no surprise in Matthew, in the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus said, blessed are the peacemakers. So we are to be his people, his peacemaking people. So point at yourself, smile like you're not annoyed with me, okay? And say, peacemaker. Think about where you work. Think about where you live. Think about your relationships. We are to be peacemakers because God is a God of peace, and we're blessed when we walk in that. Another thought is that Jesus, the Prince of Peace, gives it to us. There is a difference between the kind of peace that people without Christ try to have and sustain and the peace that Christ gives to us. And in John chapter 14, verse 27, Jesus said, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Do not let your heart be troubled, nor let it be fearful." Don't let it be afraid. You see, as the world gives to us is different. As the world gives the peace that is outwardly enforced, and we're forced to comply, and we have peacekeeping forces, and so it's from the outside in. And that song we sang, "It's Well With My Soul," speaks about a peace from the inside out. The author who wrote that actually wrote it on an ocean liner, having just lost his daughters and wife in a tragic accident. And he talks about that peace, "It's well with my soul." In Romans 15:33, "The God of peace, may the God of peace be with you." And Jesus elaborates on his peace in John chapter 16, two chapters later. He says, "These things I have spoken to you so that in me you may have peace." The fruit of the Spirit peace we're talking about is accomplished through Christ and his Holy Spirit working in us with our cooperation. If you don't cooperate, you're not going to have it. It's something that you and the Holy Spirit do together. And so you may have peace. In the world, you have tribulation. Can I hear an amen? Man, it's everywhere. But take courage, I've overcome the world. And so when Jesus talks about giving us peace, it doesn't mean that his peace is problem-free. And I'm glad about that because most of life is not problem-free. The world is certainly not problem-free. And if we depended on that, we wouldn't have it. In fact, when Jesus was born, he was born into chaos and tragedy. I mean, peace on earth, goodwill toward men, the angel said, and days later, Mary and Joseph are fleeing for their life. They become refugees in Egypt. Why? Because Herod has decided to slaughter all the baby boys in the Bethlehem region to try to kill Jesus. That's not peace, that's horror. And yet, peace on earth, because it's peace within us. So, just to get kind of in sync with the peace that Christ brings, and I don't want to ruin the sermon for you, but what are some of the stress-inducing, peace-robbing things in the world that bother you? All right, just think about them real quick. It's not hard to think of them, is it? And then let's get even more personal. What are some of the stress-inducing, peace-robbing situations or people in your personal world? What or who? We've all got some. And that Jesus says, even in spite of what you just thought about, who you just thought about, and the circumstances and the world chaos, I give you peace. But if you want that peace, the next point identifies you have to go after it. Say it again, you have to go after it. Tell somebody else, look at them, you have to go after it. Peace is not just going to happen. Praying for peace is not enough to make it happen. There's action with it. It's kind of like cultivating fruit. You have to do things to prune it and tend it and fertilize it to make it grow. Well, likewise, you have to go after it. In 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 10, the apostle quotes from Psalm 34. "The one who desires life to love and see good days must keep his tongue from evil and his lips from speaking deceit. He must turn away from evil and do good. He must seek peace and pursue it." Say, seek peace and pursue it. So if you want to pursue peace, there is a certain way to talk, because out of the heart, the mouth speaks. There is a certain way to think, and there is a certain way to act. There are peace-cultivating conversations and thoughts and actions. And when you aren't speaking, thinking, acting in peace-cultivating ways, it doesn't make sense for us to expect that fruit to be born in our lives. And so How do you do that? How do you cultivate it? I was kind of reflecting on that, and if you kind of go back to the Sound Mind series we did last year. It is helpful to, and David did this, model it very well. You know, he said, "Why are you so downcast, O my soul? Why are you so troubled within me?" So when you are feeling a lack of peace about whatever the circumstance, it's good to ask yourself, okay, why am I so troubled in my soul? And my soul, okay, so that's, would you say, what am I thinking? Because our thoughts can trouble us and steal our peace. What am I feeling? And what am I doing? And ask the Holy Spirit to reveal to you, okay, what am I thinking that's just perpetuating this lack of peace? What am I feeling? What am I doing? How is that becoming just kind of this blender of a negative way of peacelessness? Beyond asking yourself, okay, why am I troubled inside? Another thing is to play the worst case scenario. And I don't know about you, I'm a fairly creative person. I can imagine some pretty bad worst case scenarios. To me, the worst case scenario is not you die, because if you die, you go to heaven, all right? That's kind of a win, all right? But sometimes it's helpful with what has us so upset and stressed and peaceless. Okay, well, what if the worst thing happens? And in the worst case scenario, what we find is the worst case scenario is not greater than God. And God has an ability in Romans chapter 8 to work all things together for good for those who love him and are called according to his purpose. So your and my ability to mess things up is not greater than God's ability to somehow bring good from that. And so go ahead and walk into it, spend time with worst case scenario and prayerfully kind of look around and see what God might do with it. I remember when we built this building. And one of my mentors in my MBA program, Dr. Stickney, always talked about contingency plans and anticipating what you don't see coming and all that. And so I remember when we hired an architect and they did all the research on the whole property, they came back and said the best place to build this building, this auditorium, is on the footprint of the old one, the existing one. So tear the old sanctuary down and build this. And part of me really grieved about that idea, but okay, we'll do it. Long hindsight, we couldn't have gotten the zoning board to let us build anywhere but here. But I remember when the demolition trucks came and the cranes and they were tearing down the old sanctuary. And my worst case scenario ability kicked in. And I thought, oh dear Lord, what happens if they tear the sanctuary down and then the economy crashes and we can't rebuild? And people drive by for years and go, see that fool? Tore down the sanctuary. Nowhere to meet now. All right? So go ahead and go worst case scenario, but then realize that even in that, God doesn't say, well, you know what? You really messed it up. I don't know how to help you. That's bigger than anything I've ever thought of. No. God can still work in your situation. And then another thing that's helpful, after you, why am I so disturbed? Do the inventory. Go ahead and walk through worst case and realize God's bigger than that. The third one is reflect on creation. And as you reflect on creation, if we see in creation God's attributes and qualities, then meditate on God's word and tell yourself peaceable thoughts. When you are a stressed out mess, one of the best places I think you can be is outside or driving through outside if it's not nice out. And realize that, okay, God, what do I see even in the world that you've made? We take our little dog Lulu on a walk in the park, and yesterday I took her to the Metro Parks, and normally there's a road that we go on, but they were doing some work, so she got a little spooked by the machinery, so she wanted to go off the pavement and onto a path. So, okay, let's take the path. And as we're walking through the path and trying to miss the mud, I realized looking out that, and we've been watching it because we take walks regularly there, that it gets green from the bottom up. Like the short little bushes and trees start to get leaves, and then the underbrush gets green, and the leaves in the top are still not fully out yet. But I was noticing it's getting greener and greener, and it just spoke to me that, you know, Daniel tells us that God establishes the times and the seasons. And I kind of like that we have four seasons in Ohio because every time we have one, it reminds me to kind of look forward to what God has next. And so let God speak to you. Ecclesiastes says there's a time and a season for everything under the sun. And so depending on what season of life you're in, I can take some time, I can look at what God has made, reflect on creation and God's word, and I can find peace in that. Some of you might need to, if you feel like your world is too big or God is too small or he doesn't care about you, you just stay up late tonight and or whatever, whenever there's a starry night, if it's not tonight, and read Psalm 8 and go outside and look up. We talked about with the eclipse, but David said, when I consider the heavens and the work of your hands, the moon and the stars you've ordained, what is man that you're mindful of him or the son of man that you care for him? God, who am I when you've made all that? And just allow yourself to be in awe of the God who created that and realize he's got the whole world in his hands, including your world in his hands. You can have peace. Some of you might get up early and watch a sunrise. As you watch a sunrise, and there are no two sunrises alike, you can reflect on Lamentations 3, 22 and 23 that says, the steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. Just like that sunrise, it's new again the next day and the next day and the next. God's love for you is new over and over and over. And when I realize how much he loves me, I can have peace. So those are some of the things, but it doesn't just happen. We can get busy and just go. We can not even notice what's around us. It doesn't happen. You've got to go after it. And those are some ways you can do that. And then the Bible helps us. In Psalm 119, verse 165, it says, those who love your law have great peace, and nothing causes them to stumble. Now, I think it's important for us when we talk about this to understand the law. And you go to Proverbs 3, it talks about God's law, God's commandments, and says, length of days and years of life and peace they will add to those who love them. And so God's commandments are good for us. When I love God's law, it gives me peace. And Proverbs 3 says also that wisdom from God's word on all her paths are peace. Let's put that in context, though, for the authors that wrote about those who love your law will have peace. The law they're talking about, see, as New Testament Christians, beyond New Testament, we have the benefit of Genesis all the way to Revelation. How many of you ever read through the Bible and you read Genesis, Exodus, that's good history, then Leviticus. Man, is Leviticus tough sledding or what, right? And then Numbers and Deuteronomy, okay? And there's a whole lot of detail there. That, Genesis through Deuteronomy, is the law that the author in the Psalms and Proverbs is talking about. Didn't have all the rest of it assembled yet. But if we spend time reflecting on God's law and meditating on God's law and God's word, it is good for us as people, and it brings us a sense of peace. Because, see, I've got not just starting in Genesis through Deuteronomy, I've got all the way to Revelation, so I know something. I know that, you know what? God started it all, and God has an ending to it that's going to go for eternity, a new heaven, a new earth. So when I play worst-case scenario forward, if it's a worst-case scenario on earth, it doesn't compare to the best-case scenario that's coming in heaven. When I look at this book, and we talked about God's testimonies last weekend, when I look through the situations my heroes faced in this book and God prevailed and God helped them and they had peace, I can say, okay, if he helped them then, he can help me now. Say that, if he helped them then, he can help me now. And so I just kind of put that into practice. God holds the future. And when you look at this, there have been some horrible things people lived through in the past centuries. And God brought them through it. You read this book, you can rest assured of one thing. God did not start the day looking at you going, I have no idea what to do for her. Now, he is on his own, well, out of answers. No peace for you. Pursue it all you want. You're not going to find it. No. When you see the things that the people of God have faced and gone through there, and as they sought peace and pursued it, God gave it to them, we can experience the same thing in our lives. So another aspect of going after it is to think peaceful thoughts up here. And Isaiah chapter 26, verse 3. Says, the steadfast of mind you will keep in perfect peace because he trusts in you. I like the way the King James puts it, thou will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is anchored on you. There's so much admonition in Scripture to fix your eyes on Jesus. Keep your eyes on Christ. Don't get distracted. Look to the left or the right. Keep your eyes on Christ, because as we keep our eyes and our heart and our mind fixed on who God is, that Jesus is the Prince of Peace, that Jesus said he would give his peace to us if we pursue it, then he keeps me in that sense of peace. And in Philippians chapter 4, the apostle talks about the peace of God that surpasses all comprehension or understanding will guard your hearts, your emotions, and your minds in Christ Jesus. So think about those stressful, peace-robbing situations and people in your life, those extra grace required people in your life. God can, his peace can guard you, can protect you emotionally and mentally. But it doesn't just happen, because even that verse follows the verse before that doesn't come natural, at least to me. It says, be anxious for nothing. Does that come natural to anybody? No, be anxious for nothing, but in everything, with prayer and thanksgiving, let your requests be known to God. So when one of the greatest things you can do to deter anxiety and to gain peace is to give thanks out loud, better yet. And so you thank God when you're feeling a lack of peace, when you're all stressed out, thank God for as many things as you can out loud. And then your faith begins to build. You see all that God has done and blessed you with. And then you ask, and then he says, the peace of God will guard your heart and your mind when you do that. Let me skip two verses further. The things you've learned and received and heard and seen in me, practice these things. Say practice. Practice. And the God of peace will be with you. Okay, well, what is he talking about practicing there that you've seen in Paul, okay, the Apostle Paul? Well, the verse 8, the verse before, he says, finally, brethren and sisters, these are the things you're supposed to dwell on mentally, your thought life, all right? Whatever is true, dwell on that. How many of you know if it's on the internet, it's true? If it's on the news, it's true. No, whatever is true, whatever's honorable, whatever is right or pure, whatever's lovely, whatever is of good reputation, if there's any excellence, anything worthy of praise, he's arguing with a pessimist. Yeah, but, is there anything? Can you find anything positive whatsoever? Let your mind dwell on these things. And when you let your mind, when you make your mind dwell on these things, then funny, I don't feel quite so stressed. I kind of have peace. It is well with my soul. And you might say, but I just can't do it. I can't. Yes, you can. So let's do a quick little exercise, all right? And we're gonna look at how we think peaceful thoughts. So summertime is not far away. But who has to wait for summertime to have ice cream? So think about ice cream. Okay, now for me, it's probably instantly black raspberry chip at UDF. Boom, I don't know what yours is. Okay, how many of you got a flavor in mind? All right, how many like soft serve? Okay, soft serve is okay unless you're on a cruise, you know, and then I think it's little soft serve machines. Last cruise, I probably had 10 soft serve ice cream cones a day just because it's there. I can't go on a long cruise. When on one 7-day cruise, I gained a pound a day. Even being on the treadmill, pound a day. All right. So let's, and beyond thinking about ice cream, it's the season. Let's think about basketball. I didn't get to watch it. I was working, but the Cavs won yesterday, first playoff game, right? So, yeah. Think football. All right. Think whatever sport you've ever played. All right. Just think about it. Okay. All right. Let's think 4th of July. I don't know where you are. I'm at Vandalia Rec watching the fireworks. See, I just said do this and you did it. Direct your thoughts, you did. You can control a lot of your thoughts, most of them. Not all of them. There are things that pop in your head. Where in the world did that come from? But then you have the decision, what do I do with that thought? Keep it, pitch it, store it for later. And so you can choose to think things like Paul described. And when you think about difficult people or difficult circumstances, things in your past, things you're facing, I can choose my thoughts. Say, I can choose my thoughts. Now, not all. Some are going to bombard you. But you can choose, okay, I still need to think something praiseworthy. I need to think something excellent. I need to think something positive and hopeful. Is there anything worthy of praise, Paul says? Then stuff that in that thought life along with everything else, and you will experience more of God's peace. And then finally, when it comes to peace, go after it relationally. Some people make this easier than others. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 14. I had a different verse, but this is more in line with the idea. Hebrews 12, 14. Pursue peace with everyone and the sanctification without which no one will see the Lord. Now, we qualify that a little bit because Paul backs it down a little in Romans 12, 18. If possible, so far as it depends on you, be at peace with all men. So we pursue peace with everyone, but there are some people, doesn't matter what you do, you're not going to get along. And so back off your expectations and you get into the mine and not mine thing we talked about in past weeks. But we're to pursue peace relationally. That means that I'm the one who is willing to forgive. I try to forget. I apologize. I accept apologies. I give grace. I have empathy. Empathy is understanding and having a sense of compassion for someone's feelings and their reactions, whether you agree or not. And we realize that somebody hurting often emanates that. And when we get beyond ourselves to see them, we can have a greater sense of peace. Give the benefit of the doubt as I seek peace in relationships. And one of the best ways that I can pursue peace, and as Paul says in Romans 14, 19, then we pursue the things which make for peace and the building up of one another. I remind myself, everyone has their junk. Would you say that with me? Everyone has their junk. And you could add to it, including me. And so I find it easier to give grace, easier to seek peace, easier to pursue peace. And so it came down to, okay, how do we want to land this message? And you can hear this, oh, that's good, whatever. And then you jump onto this busy life and busy world and just get swept away and you don't have a chance to act on it. And so we're gonna go ahead and practice what I preached with a peace-seeking exercise. Now, if you go out to eat after church today and go to a restaurant and you wake, then you talk to the host or hostess, and you ask them, how long is the wait? And they say, 6 minutes. No big deal, right? We're going to do it. 6 minutes, that's nothing. So I just want to put that in context because we're going to do a peace-seeking exercise that lasts about 6 minutes. It's funny, the context, how long that can feel. And what we're going to do is, what would be ideal is if we could all go like deep in the woods somewhere together and see creation. And after we look at creation, we think about God's word and tell ourselves peaceable thoughts together and debrief on that. But we don't have the ability to go do that, so we're going to bring it to you. And so what we're going to do in a moment is we're going to share with you a beautiful scene from creation. And we're going to show different verses, and they'll repeat we'll go through a list of verses, and they'll repeat. And there'll be just some blank time in between them as well, just to reflect. And so, see what this scene speaks to you about the one who made it. Notice the mountains, the green trees, notice the water and the clouds in the sky. Think about that God who said through Christ, my peace I give to you. And think about how we seek peace, how we pursue that. And when it's done, the screen will shut off and we're not going to have any formal dismissal. You can just prayerfully dismiss yourself. And use that as a primer for, okay, when I'm feeling stressed and anxious, when I don't have any peace, I can do this to practice the presence of God and just seeing creation and reflecting on God's word and telling myself peaceable thoughts. And so to introduce that, we simply reflect on 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 16, where the apostle said, now may the Lord of peace himself continually grant you peace in every circumstance. The Lord be with you all.